What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Smoking Tire Podcast. This is an automotive podcast about cars. I'm your host, Matt Farah. Before we get into it, let me talk to you for a second about StockX. And if you love watches like I love watches, you got to know about StockX. Why? StockX is the world's first online stock market of things for high-demand consumer products, including sneakers, watches, and handbags. StockX connects buyers and sellers using the same methodology as the world's stock markets, an anonymous live bid ask market. All products are physically authenticated by StockX, allowing participants to focus on the transparency of data available, including real-time market pricing, in-depth market analysis, individual portfolio tracking, historical sales, and volume metrics. That means no stressing about shady buyers and sellers, no lengthy descriptions, and no blurry pictures to decipher. All you have to worry about is finding the watch you want and placing a bid you feel comfortable with. StockX makes buying and selling watches online a lot better. Trust me, give it a try yourself at StockXWatches.com. That's StockXWatches.com. This episode is also brought to you by Beeline Coffee. I drink it every day, every morning. It's the roasted tire, and it's delicious. It's got actually quite a lot of caffeine in it. Notes of blackberry and raspberry. It's a medium roast. I love it. It's available in the Beeline Coffee store. Use code TST at Beeline Coffee and get 15% off your entire order, no matter how big or how small. Code TST at BeelineCoffee.com. Lastly, if you are in Los Angeles this Thursday, myself, Cameron Weiss, and the Watch and Listen podcast, the show we do about watches, are hosting a car watch meetup at Weiss Watch Company in Torrance, California. I don't do a lot of meetups, but this is going to be a good one. I want to hear your stories about your cars and your watches. It's October 4th, 7 to 9 p.m. at Weiss Watch Company in Torrance. RSVP to info@weisswatchcompany.com. All right, on this episode of the show, I'm interviewing a man named Robert Siegel. He's the director of a new movie called Cruise. Cruise is a really cool flick. I checked it out. It is set against the cruising and street racing culture of Long Island and Queens in the 1980s. And I watched it with a keen car guy eye. And both aesthetically and technically and in the dialogue, the car stuff is right on point, actually. It's really, really accurate car stuff. And if you grew up in the Northeast in the 80s or the 90s, this is going to be a very familiar podcast and a very familiar movie. The director of the movie Cruise, Robert Siegel, in studio on the Smoking Tire Podcast. So the film hits close to home. It seems like this is the show now. We're now doing the show.
Okay.
Give you a little more volume.
We can should start being interesting.
Please.
All right.
We can curse, whatever the fuck. It's all good. There's no FCC.
Love it.
It's brilliant. Robert Siegel, ladies and gentlemen. Do you prefer Rob? Robert, what do you like?
Let me just test the mic. Fuck, shit, fuck, shit.
Cocksucker, motherfucker.
It works.
It's good. It's good.
Robert or Rob?
What do you like?
Rob.
All right. Rob it is.
It's no B. I don't do Bob.
No, you're not a Bob. I have an Uncle Bob that's a Robert. Weird. I also have an Uncle Richard who goes by Dick, which I don't understand the voluntary.
Is he very, very old?
He's like in his 70s.
Oh.
He's not that old.
No.
He wears that shit like a badge, though. He really wants to be Dick.
He wants to be Dick.
Oh, yeah. I think he really likes it. Oh, Rob Siegel. Hello, sir.
Hey.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
I watched your film last night.
Yeah.
Cruise, new movie. I liked it.
Nice.
Even though it's like a romantic kind of movie.
Oh yeah.
It is totally set against a backdrop of
even though there are things
love.
Besides cars in it.
Some.
Yeah.
Although,
yeah.
God damn, do you get the cars in? You really got the cars in.
There's a lot of cars in that movie.
You've been around a little bit. You wrote The Wrestler.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
Thank you.
And you wrote The Founder.
Yeah,
which I fucking love.
Oh, thank
I
you.
Love The Founder.
Thank you. Yeah.
Ray Kroc was such a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Tell me, I want to talk about Cruise, your new movie, but I also want to talk about The Founder a little bit.
I probably don't know enough about cars to fill an hour, so let's do 20 minutes.
I mean, that's fine. I bet you do.
I bet
you do.
We'll see.
Based on the film, I bet you do.
Yeah.
So, you're from New York.
From New York, yeah. Grew up on Long Island.
Where in Long Island?
Merrick, South Shore.
Yes, a little bit. My fiance is from Long Beach.
Oh, really?
So I know the North Shore, the South Shore, a whole fucking shore.
Yeah,
and I'm from Westchester, so I've been around.
Long Beach is trendy now. People are moving.
Long Beach is cool.
Yeah, people are moving there.
Well, once the hurricane trashed it, it was like, wow, I can get an oceanfront home.
Yeah.
There now.
Prices dropped and they rebuilt the boardwalk.
My fiance's parents' house is literally front row in Long Beach.
Jesus.
And it got trashed.
Did they rebuild
it? Sandy. Yeah, they did.
Oh, some of those houses they don't even rebuild.
Some they didn't, but you know what they're doing now? Is they're lifting them. People who want to stay and rebuild are raising their houses like 10, 12 feet off the ground. It's really bizarre. It looks like one of those.
How do they
like,
get to their house?
It's fucking staircases.
And giant staircases.
Yeah, and they have these weird carports and then just a bunch of air and a tall ass staircase. It's so bizarre.
Jesus.
But they're doing it.
Just move inland.
Yeah.
Get a ground level house.
No, you know what? Something about that sea air, man.
Yeah. No, I know.
You know, I live in Venice, and there's going to be a storm, and it's going to take my shit right out.
I just know it.
I'm close enough that I won't be escaping.
On one of those little the walk streets?
Yeah.
Oh, it's probably right where I am. I'm on 18th place.
Oh, yeah. You're not far from my house.
Staying at Airbnb.
There you go. Yeah. Airbnbs in Venice are what's up.
Oh, it's
great. A lot of them.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them.
A lot of mounted surfboards on walls.
Yes.
Every house I can walk into, there's a surfboard.
Yeah, everyone's got that's what you do with your old boards. You turn them into art.
Yeah.
You got to create the Venice vibe.
You never see surfboards on walls in New York City.
The South Shore, maybe. Yeah. You might in Long Beach. They surf. They actually do surf a lot.
I know. There's a lot of those wetsuit guys.
So when you grew up in Long Island, the cruising street racing scene depicted in Cruise, is that your life?
I'm actually more like the girl. This will make more sense when people see the movie. But it's about
played
a,
by Emily. Is it?
Emily
say it out loud.
Radikowski.
It is Radikowski.
Yeah,
I've only ever read her.
Yeah,
name.
It's one of those names you don't hear. The J is silent,
and
all the other letters you say out loud.
I have to say.
Yeah.
Is this her first acting job?
It's her first lead role.
She did good.
Yeah.
Her character was like well developed and good, and her acting was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very impressive.
You sound shocked. You don't think a model?
No, it's not that I don't think a model but
she did. I don't think she's had formal training.
I think of her as a model.
Yeah.
I don't think of her as an actress.
Yeah.
And
no, she was in Gone Girl. She was in
Gone Girl.
Yeah, she was she was sort of like the teenage jailbait who he has.
Oh shit, you're
Ben
right.
Affleck
she was.
Has,
yeah, I forgot about that.
Has a fling with. She was in I Feel Pretty. She's done a lot of little, appear on screen for 5-10 minutes kind of things. But
this is her first time.
Yeah,
she carried it well.
She's great. So she plays a. The movie takes place kind of on the. It's a little bit autobiographical, geographically autobiographical. Mm. I grew up on Long Island. The movie takes place kind of on the border between. If you know your New York City,
Franny Lou,
the bully.
Lou.
Yeah, every town had one.
I have a really good friend.
Yeah.
That is 100% one of the characters in the movie.
Guido guy? Yeah,
yeah.
Well, it's based on my friend
Mike Musto. Probably knows Gino.
Was cruising
in a Turbo Trans Am in '87.
Yeah.
And it's totally these
Gino
fucking guys.
Gino Caparelli is my. This is I usually try to write things that are somewhat autobiographical, but in this case, it was his biographical. It's his life.
He plays the dad.
Right. He was in my first movie, which was called Big Fan, and he played the brother.
Uh-huh.
This time I cast him as the dad.
The Italian accents are strong with these.
Yeah.
Is that his real accent?
No, he's
really hamming it up. He's like a fucking Queens Guido, right? Not a
real
Italy Guido.
Yeah, but his dad, he's basically, I assume he's impersonating his father.
Right.
Because that's what every father sounds like.
Yeah, that's like
every Guido's father.
That family is such
What are you going to do with you? Yeah.
You kind of get a good girl on the street.
Yeah. There's a lot of that. And it sounds a little corny, but it's actually, I've witnessed enough of it to know it's very accurate. So he grew up, kind of cruising the boulevard. He's a Bayside Queens guy, and he grew up cruising the boulevard and like driving around. A lot of it's very kind of American graffiti, but.
Right.
Crossed
but,
with
but,
Jersey
but 20
Shore.
Years later.
Yeah, it's
kind
like an
of
80s
thing.
Jersey Shore American graffiti sort of movie.
But that scene is like. Not the scene in the movie, like that car cruising scene is. I was a few years later, but it was pretty accurate,
huge.
I think.
Yeah.
To what it was.
And
really
I think
like.
we've screened the movie in different parts of the country, and even though it's a very deeply New York movie, it's actually very. I'm pleased to find it's very relatable that every town.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, that I think just was like
a strip where people.
It's like a Guido Dazed and Confused.
Yeah, it's almost a little. Yeah, that's a great. I would love to put that on the poster.
You wanna? Is it too late?
It's too late. I already went to press.
I want a quote on a poster, but it was. It's fun. Yeah. It's a fun movie.
So he's in. So it takes place kind of on the Queens Long Island border, which is. Queens is right next to. Queens is technically on. In Long Island.
I'm going to get a map. Yeah,
Get
a map.
Oh, we can do that?
No, so yeah, that's the best thing about the best part about this show. Watch this.
Can I point to it and it'll.
Look, I can pull that into the show. Now we can talk about Miss Frances Lewis.
Now, if I.
You point.
If
point,
I point,
we're good. Well,
is my finger.
No, your
on
hand
camera?
Isn't, but the map. No, you're fine, but the mouse is.
No, I want it to be. Okay, so I back it up a little.
Mm-hmm.
So what's confusing is this is Long Island. Like this body here.
Yes.
That's Manhattan. Okay.
Yeah.
And then Brooklyn, Queens.
So Queens like is sandwiches
so
between.
I always explain this to people who are not from New York. Brooklyn and Queens are technically on Long Island, like the actual physical island.
Yes.
But when you talk about Long Island, you're talking about everything east of Long Island starts.
It's east of the Belt, east of like the Belt Parkway,
that's
right?
That's kind of the border. Parkway.
Well, Belt Parkway, which is right here, by the way.
Which goes up to the Cross Island. Yeah.
Yeah.
Belt Parkway, Cross Island. So the movie, so right there is the, everything to the left is Queens.
Yeah.
And everything to the right is Long Island. So right on that line.
Right here.
This is cool.
Yeah.
That's the Cross Island Parkway.
Where's Frances Lewis?
Which kind of metaphorically is like wrong, when you talk about wrong side of the tracks.
Right.
The Cross
Island
Parkway is the tracks.
Yeah.
So on the left, to the left of it, that's Guido. And to the right of it, that's Jap.
Yeah, it's Jewy.
Yeah.
It's yeah.
Guido, Jap. And
it's a pretty fine line, too, actually.
It's like these people are like the working class, you know, Italian
Guidos. And they
Guidos.
Work for these people.
And then you go like, they do their... They do all their auto detailing.
Yeah, and their landscaping.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
They own the landscaping businesses and the
but
house.
The guys
painting.
Who actually do the landscaping work are down in Jamaica.
Yeah, yeah.
But so if you're here, you're like probably Christian. You're lower middle class, just working class. And here suddenly you go like a few inches to the right, and you're like a rich Jewish suburbanite. So I was not the rich part, but I was like normal Jewish suburban. I grew up in Merrick.
Which is down here a little bit.
It's down
there. Where is it? Where's Mac? Here.
Oh, wow. This is so fun.
Yeah, yeah.
So Merrick,
here's Long Beach where we're talking about.
So this is all just Jew country.
Yeah.
You know?
And so in the film, you pretty much have a Jewish girl who sort of comes to the wrong side of the tracks.
Right. So like in high school, that's the part that for me was autobiographical. For Gino, he's on the Geo side. Geo is the main character played by Spencer Bowman, the guy, and he's sort of like Tony Manero, Mr. Cool.
He's got a real 50s greaser haircut happening.
I fact-checked everything in the movie with real authentic Guidos and car. What do you call a car person? A gearhead?
Yeah.
I had, it was really actually Guido. It was a one-stop shop because I had Guido gearheads. We can get to that, but they were on set. The entire time I had just so many car people.
Oh my God.
Out.
Next time you do a movie like this, please let me be a fact checker for Guidos and car.
I would
people.
Check the, cause I'm, I was living in mortal terror. You don't want to make a movie like this and then have everybody be like, that's the wrong fucking terminology.
Oh dude. I watched this movie very intently paid attention to that stuff. And
was it right? I'm scared.
It's about 99% right.
Okay.
It's really, really good.
So there's a lot of there's a fair amount of car talk in it, and so like they're checking out each other's engines, and I don't want to.
The terminology used for the engines is correct.
If I simply pulled up the terminology on Google, I was afraid it would just sound like. Somebody didn't, you
no,
know,
it was right.
So I was like
410 posi rear, the 3.8 turbo with sequential fuel injection. Yeah.
There was something about a 305
tune port injection.
I don't know what a tune port is.
What that means is it's a piece of shit. Yeah. That's the worst version of that engine. It's the car it came with.
Okay.
It is that's the engine that came with that. Is the character's referring to like a late 80s IROC. And that's the correct engine that came in that car. It's known for being a flaming hunk of shit.
Oh, so that's actually was probably bad because that was the climactic race.
It's okay. He gave him lengths.
I had a grand. His car is the hero car is the Grand National. So that was going up. The climactic race was Grand National going up against this car with a 305 tune port, which it sounds like was not a very even, not a very fair fight.
Well, it's I'll tell you something without giving the movie away.
Yeah.
I think the results of what happened in that race
are accurate
okay. to those cars.
Phew.
Yeah, you know, you're good.
Movie
Don't worry
comes
about
out
that.
Tomorrow. It's too late to.
No, you're fucking
and then
good,
there's
bro.
The,
there's only one. You want me to tell you
tell
the wrong
the one.
One? There's
yeah.
one wrong one.
Okay.
Joey
Balls was my creative consultant.
In a part of the movie, the lead character Gio refers to a car with a smaller engine as a V4, when in fact it came with an inline 4. That's
you're
the only
about,
thing
oh,
I found
end.
That's wrong. Yep.
Okay, at the end. Well, we don't even have to say where it is. Although
it doesn't
I just,
matter, but that's
just
the,
did.
It's the only
it
thing
was,
that matters that's wrong.
It was some like Gremlin. What was
it's
that
a
car?
Dodge Omni.
You Wow, you really... No, you're
bro, you're on a car podcast.
You should host this
show.
Okay, so he said a Dodge Omni for a V4. It's got some muscle.
Yep, but it's an inline 4.
So I should have had him say for an inline 4. It's got
or
some,
for a little.
But he's
four
talking
or
to
or
the girl, so maybe he's simplifying it and talking down.
You
to
know
her.
What?
Can I justify it as?
You don't have to defend it. It is what it is.
But I want
but
it to be right.
You got. You fucking got okay. like until 15
okay.
seconds from the
and
end of the movie
a,
before.
Okay, and I blew it. And then there was a guy talking about hooker headers. Mm-hmm. I don't. What's that?
Hooker is a brand that makes muscle car headers, and that would be accurate.
Do hooker
yep.
headers?
Yep.
Okay.
Hooker headers, 410 posi rear is totally accurate.
Yeah.
Your gearhead credibility in this movie is very high.
I said, are you sure?
It's very,
I said,
very
Joey
high.
Balls, you're positive that's right.
Dude,
he could have been, you know, he could have been like fucking with me.
He could have. He could have
you know, like
wanted you to come on this
like
podcast
the girl
and
who
have
gets,
me call you out.
It could have been like the girl who gets the Chinese symbol tattoo.
Oh, my God.
On her, you know, back of her
ho.
Neck. Right. It means big American whore.
Yeah. Why the choice of the Grand National for the hero car?
That was...
Which I love.
Yeah. Well, I... You know, I grew up. We'll go back to the map. Oh, we're going to the.
Oh
National.
Yeah, no, here we'll leave the map up. Sure,
okay.
What do you got?
So I grew up. Just to finish the geography, I grew up on Long Island, Merrick, and in my high school, I was not as clear by this point in the interview. I was not a gearhead in high school. I drove a Toyota Corona.
Nice.
You know what a Corona is?
Yes, actually. Okay. Believe it or not.
I don't have to check with you.
No,
you know,
but
I
believe
just,
it or not, if you drove a Toyota Corona today,
you
want to
pull up the Corona?
Yeah, you would
fun.
Be a gearhead. You
really?
Weren't then.
Was it? Oh, it's does it have some kind of like...
Wasn't the Corona rear-wheel drive?
Yeah, and it was... Because
they use them for drifting and shit.
I had the gray
what
one.
Looked the most like yours?
Mine?
Point at it, yeah. Point at the picture that looked the most like
all
yours.
It looked way too new.
What year do you think yours was?
Seven, you know, like 80.
Like it, like this?
Yeah.
Yeah, this yeah. if you drove this today, you would be a connoisseur.
Oh, it's kind of
I swear
like,
to God.
Really?
Yeah.
They're back?
I
see those goddamn...
Early Toyotas are very cool now.
No power steering.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Did you cruise in this?
No, I didn't. No, I didn't cruise. I just masturbated.
Everyone in your movie fucks a lot.
Yeah, they do.
It seems that it's like car, fucking.
Yeah, I cut some of the fucking.
Did you?
Yeah.
There was even more fucking.
Yeah, there was. It's not like a porno.
No, it's not graphic.
But that's what they do. They go to the boulevard. They...
And then
they scope.
They pass. They
it's a ritual. It's a whole...
It's like roosters. And it's literally peacocking.
Roosters. You mean that there's a...
No, the cars going back and forth.
There's
and
a,
like,
a, right, a courtship
ritual. It's like a dating
ritual. Yeah,
yeah,
it almost could be like a National Geographic.
Yeah.
You know...
the wild Guido chases the female.
He demonstrates he demonstrates his prowess by having the largest... the loudest
engine.
Muffler.
The loudest muffler.
So the and the part
and he gets
I,
pulled over for no cats. That's accurate.
I was so
it's
nervous.
Very good.
That was accurate too.
Totally.
Because that was not Joey Balls who told me to say that. I had he wasn't there at that moment. So I
no, you were great. You're
get,
on.
Oh,
point.
That's actually probably.
Oh, is this
accurate.
It
What's
here?
That? Oh, that's a 71. No.
I mean,
that's
if you were driving, if you
so
were
driving,
driving this, you would be a proper connoisseur.
Oh,
this is a this is like a beautiful, or it could have been I don't know this terrible looking thing. It's an 81.
Yeah. Yeah.
81?
Okay. I'm saying yes to every car, but yeah.
You're saying yes. See, if you had something like this, you'd be fire.
No, the 81 seems better.
We're really focusing on the Toyota. It could have been terrible one. That's an 84.
No, that's way too new.
That's really terrible.
My dad had an Opel Cadet.
Oh, yeah. The favorite
I'm
of
trying to just name
Top Gear
cars
Richard Hammond. Just to
trying
fill,
to name
to
cars
fill
to appeal to your audience. No, I could.
Here's the question about your Grand National.
Oh,
the
so
Grand
why you were asking me why he? So in my high school, you know, I drove the Corona, which was not effective, and all the Guidos in my high school drove you know, the IROC, mm-hmm. the Camaro, the Trans Am,
yep.
the Firebird,
yep.
all that stuff. And, you know, with the T-tops, and they all had the freestyle blasting from it.
Right.
That music and those cars, to me, I don't know if you're...
The 80s rap...
It's not rap. It's dance. It's 80s dance music. It's like it's a form of music called freestyle, which was big in New York City and certain other parts of the country. It's like Taylor Dane, Exposé, Shannon, you know, if you ask somebody in Oklahoma about that music, I thought it was top 40 music, and some of it broke through, but like Stevie B, Johnny like Party Your Body.
It turns out it's like heavily local to this area.
I didn't realize that was like the soundtrack of that subculture. I just thought that was the music that the whole world was listening to. Like that was Drake in 1987, but it was, you know.
Oh, fuck. You know what's a little inside in your movie that took me right back to home?
Yeah.
At one point, the Gio, the lead character, he works in like an auto shop of some kind, a parts store or something. And he goes in the back and the 1010 wins things.
Oh,
yeah. And I had like a flashback.
You give us 22 minutes. We'll give you the word.
I had such a flashback to the 1010 wins.
Oh, good.
Fuck, this guy is from New York because that comes up.
And the car... So everybody listened to that. Everybody was playing those, playing those songs, and those were the cars. So when I first wrote the movie, I thought, well, he should have an IROC. And then Gino Caffarelli, who was my inspiration for the movie, he's like, no, it's got to be a G-body.
Yeah.
It's got to be a G-body.
Of course.
You got to be.
In that Guido
nobody
accent.
Nobody drove. Yeah.
It's got to be a G-body. That's me some so slack.
He's like,
funny.
Can't be. It's got to be, Monte Carlo. It's got to be a Buick Regal. It's got to be boxy.
Yep.
And
totally.
Then I was like, well, what would he the inaccuracy I've been told is that guy couldn't afford that car.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
Unless he makes money and selling the stolen radios, which is apparently his gig. So maybe he can afford the car.
Maybe he can. And then in some scenes we had three of those cars because we had
stunt car, car, whatever.
And one of them was a GNX, which is, I guess, the
Did you really have a GNX? They're the really good ones. They're the rare ones.
And apparently, they're very expensive.
They are.
Yes. So everyone lent us their cars.
Actually, a couple of commenters on my Instagram when I said you were coming in said they had friends with cars in the background. The Fox body convertible in front of Carvel. You know about Radwood? Do you know what Radwood is? 80s are so fucking on fire right now.
Yeah.
All of it's blowing up because my age, I'm in my 30s, we're starting to get just a little bit of money, and unlike a car from like the 60s, you get a car from the 80s, you can drive it. You know, you can use it as a car. Yeah. It doesn't need to be a museum piece. Mm-hmm. It doesn't need a ton of special care. And we see these cars and we go,
80s muscle cars you're talking about? 80s, or anything?
Whether it's muscle cars or 80s, you know, BMWs, 80s Porsche. It's reasonably
Everybody
affordable.
In Venice has that the mustard yellow Mercedes diesel.
Oh my God!
Thing.
Well, in L.A. the 300D, Well, first off, they were very well made.
Yeah.
They feel very solid.
And they fill it with like corn oil.
Well, they run them the diesel. They're very easy to convert to biodiesel.
Nobody in New York is doing that.
No, because in New York, no one gives a shit about the environment in New York.
And it's always mustard yellow. Yeah. Well,
this color isn't the mustard yellow. What I call Jewish racing gold. This is the mustard yellow, the pale.
It's a
pale yellow. Here's the thing about these cars. They fucking run forever.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah. These cars, you could put, I mean, these are traditionally million-mile chassis. So these cars, you know, they start their life.
So Venice Beach is sort of like Cuba with the 50s.
Kind of, yeah.
This is Cuba.
Here it's optional. Here these people are doing this
desperation.
Yeah, in Cuba you'll see the same car, but it'll have like a Russian motorboat engine in it.
Oh, you know, like literally
fucked up. Yeah, in Cuba they do crazy engineering to keep these things running. Here in L.A., an 80s Benz is definitely a style statement.
It's a political statement almost.
Well, it could be if you want to be heavy environmentalist with the biodiesel.
It's very Bernie, it seems. Okay.
They are quite Bernie. And if you want to be like a Venice hippie, you can totally rock a 300D. I have an old Mercedes, actually, not this old.
But. I think you keep trying to ask me a question, and I don't let you.
I don't know. I asked you why the G-body.
The G-body, yeah. He just said that's much cooler. And I also think it's I've never seen them I feel like the IROCs maybe, I can't think of a movie that's had them, but it feels more like the obvious choice.
I agree.
And I've never seen those. I mean, I'm a movie guy, not a car guy. So my awareness, I have a fairly high awareness of cars in movies, and they're always, it's, you know, Steve McQueen. It's always like those, you know, 69 Mustang.
Right.
What is it, like 60?
The 68 Mustang is Bullet.
Bullet, yeah. Right.
I hate Bullet. Oh. I hate.
But I've never seen.
You never seen it?
No, I've never seen '80s muscle cars in a movie.
Oh no, yeah. I think fresher. That is really works, and yeah. not just the hero cars and the lead cars. Yeah. Actually, first off, I think the three main characters are driving the exact perfect cars for their characters.
It's a grand. There's three friends. There's a grand. He's got a grand. The hero guy, the cool guy's got a Grand National. His kind of wingman has a yellow.
It's so yellow. Yellow IROC on chrome.
We might have yellow. Loaded it up in post.
It's so yellow.
It's very yellow. And it has, did you see on the back what it says?
I don't recall.
It says, I run on cologne.
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
Is that a thing you're aware of?
I understand the joke, but I didn't see it in the movie.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
IROC. Yeah, yeah, I run on cologne. That was funny.
All those cars, all those Trans Ams
in
New York.
The back windshield.
Yeah, across the back. He throws a rag and it blocks it, but for a split second you can see it says, I run on cologne.
I watched it again. I got to see it. Yeah. And then Emily, the Jewish girl, drives a Cabrio, which is so super on point.
That I didn't have to consult anyone on, because every girl in my high school that I... lusted after. Yeah. That was the pretty girl car in my high school, and I think
mine too.
Yeah,
I had the white
Cabriolet convertible. And did they even make that in other colors? Because I don't think I've ever. No, I'm
red,
not joking.
Yeah, no, red. Yeah, they did.
They did.
Yeah, they did.
I don't. I have never seen that car in another color.
The new like version of that is a white Jetta. Although, the totally average Jewy girls drive white Jettas now, or white 3 Series.
They do?
Lower end 3 Series. Yeah, because they don't make the Cabrio anymore.
Oh.
But at the time, yeah, they made them in white, red. Yeah, okay. Watch. I'll pull up.
I think I'm going to be able to fill the hour.
Of course. Did you really think you weren't going to?
I was, because I can't. I don't know anything about cars, but I know.
Don't sell yourself short.
So
look at all these colors.
Ouch!
I got a bunch. We got red. Look, we've even got the shitty tan. You got the white, you got the red, the black, the blue.
I really thought it was like the iPhone, where it just comes in white.
Some of them are rad. There's some dudes.
It's more like the iMac clamshell.
This one's pretty close to the girl's car, although it had white wheels. It had the white wheels.
You noticed?
On it.
Yeah.
I noticed everything about cars.
So
in movies,
there's
bro.
Every.
Here it is. This is her actual car in the movie.
Yeah, that's it with the roll bar. Yeah, yeah. And we never. That was it. Yeah.
There it is.
That's the car. That was the only car we had to actually... No, I shouldn't say that. Of the main cars in the movie, that was the only one we actually had to rent. Because you can rent. It was a very... Not very, very, but it was a relatively low-budget movie. Mm. And the thing... The stupid thing was to try to make a movie with cars on a low budget, because it's...
Doing anything with cars on a low budget is very, very hard. Cars are really expensive to work with and
work
around.
They're expensive to get.
Yeah.
So we had to kind of rely on people lending us their car.
Yeah.
And then they're very – it's just complicated, because a dialogue scene, you could knock out 10 pages of dialogue in a day. But as soon as you're dealing with cars, it just
– To be in a moving car for a conversation becomes a whole
thing. I didn't think it through. Yeah. You know what? I didn't think it through when I wrote it, because – I wrote they're driving around talking a lot. So on the page, as I was writing the script, it just, to me, I thought I'm writing dialogue scenes. And it sounds stupid, but I didn't really think through, okay, I'm writing dialogue scenes, but it's taking place in a car. So you're not really writing dialogue scenes. Yeah. You're writing action scenes.
Yeah.
Or, not Michael Bay.
And were you using dollies? Like,
no, I didn't. Well, what the way to do it that's manageable is with what they call a process trailer.
Uh-huh.
Is that a term?
Isn't that where you put the car on a flatbed that has cameras on it? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you just put it on
like
a flatbed.
Low flatbed and drive around and shoot it.
Right, so it's quiet and smooth, and you can rig. There's all these rigging options that you don't. We didn't have the money for that, so we were shooting it just, clamping cameras on to the different.
Oh, that's charming. That's what I do.
It's charming, but you did that? Yeah.
Yeah, but I have no money. So.
But it's bumpy and it's loud, and you have to put your sound person in the trunk. Literally.
Did you really have a sound guy in the trunk? Oh,
yeah,
poor bastard.
A woman.
Oh, no.
I put a woman in the trunk.
There's no implications there at all.
So It just became very logistically complicated, and you can shoot like a quarter of a page in a day versus, you know, you're like on schedule. You got to get through 10 pages a day if you want to like make your, you know, stay on budget.
Yeah.
So we were worried. The first thing we were worried about was how are we going to get all these cars? Because, you know, it's a period piece and it's, and there's just cars in the foreground. You need cars in the background. It all takes place. Like,
I really liked your choice of background cars, and you had a lot of really interesting background cars too. Yeah, you had some really interesting.
When you watched this, you were looking
100%.
Oh, that's amazing. 100%.
I watched this looking at all the cars in the movie.
That's cool. So we put out a call. I thought, how the hell are we going to do this? This might have been a really bad idea. And then, of course, anytime I say something like that to Gino, he says, don't worry, I got it. I got you.
So Gino made all the
Gino
cars appear?
Gino gets on his magic Franny Lou Facebook page, which, you know.
Oh, is this where these guys still hang out with each other in their 40s, all the OG Franny Lou guys?
On the page?
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah.
So he puts out the call. He's like, guys, I need some cars. And the next day, there were like the actual cars.
Yeah, they just start appearing, right?
They just start appearing out of nowhere because they're all hidden in garages.
Yeah,
so
you
don't know how many. When you're going.
You don't see them all at once.
Maybe
you
I
see
think
them
they're more
one
hidden.
At a time.
I think they're even more hidden in New York than they are here.
For like, sure.
When you're just. I don't.
Here, we have
cars,
a year round season here, so people drive their
when
shit
I come
all the
to
time.
LA, I see vintage cars. And when you're in New York, you don't see vintage cars, especially when you're living in like. You know,
the city part of it.
Right.
Yeah,
like you need the cars are in, you know, Howard Beach and Bensonhurst and Bay Ridge. And
you know, you go to Captree on a Sunday morning, the end of Ocean Parkway. That's where you go.
So
we used to race on Ocean Parkway,
really?
But yeah.
That was a big
race. We used to do big speeds.
Oh, really?
150, 200 miles an hour on Ocean Parkway. Yeah, we'd fucking go.
Was that out? Where's that? At?
Ocean Parkway?
Out by.
Did my map go
is
away?
The one by JFK? Is that the one by JFK? That was one
it's
of the
It's the one that goes east from Jones Beach.
Yes. Oh, right. By Malibu Nightclub. Yeah.
It goes.
Ocean.
Here we go. Look at this.
So that was one.
Ocean Parkway was rad.
That's a nice,
and look at this.
That's
it
a
just.
Nice
you come down the Meadowbrook. You come down the Meadowbrook, you go out past Jones Beach, and then look at this fucking road.
It's like the Bonneville Salt Flats.
It was all the way out to Captree. Where's Captree? Captree was here. And we'd have a big car show out there.
Wow.
And the city let the pavement, or whoever, the government, let the pavement go to shit. So you couldn't go fast there anymore. And it's bumpy as hell now.
Really?
But 20 years ago, you could fly down Ocean Parkway.
That was a scene, and then 86th Street in Brooklyn was another big cruising racing scene.
Yeah.
More cruising than racing.
Yeah, there are some street racing scenes, though. There's some proper...
Now?
No. I mean, proper drag racing scene.
Yeah. The thing about that, it was interesting to me, at least, I'd never shot... I don't shoot action.
Yeah.
I've never shot anything action-oriented, so I had these... stupid thing number two I did was I'm going to have racing in my indie movie... without much of a budget. And I, of course, have no... I don't know anything about safety. I mean, I hired a guy, this guy Manny Severio, who's like, I don't know. I think he's kind of famous in stunt. He's like a top guy, and somehow he just liked us and wanted to help. So I said, Manny, how are we going to shoot these racing scenes? Can you just direct the movie for the next couple of days? I was like, is this dangerous? I'm going to put the actors in the car, and... Don't they have to be going 85 miles an hour? And he goes, no. In a racing scene, like the scenes in this movie, how fast does it look? I don't know. It looks like they're going.
I think it looks like they probably crack 100, but I wouldn't be surprised if they kept under 60 or 70 for the actual
20.
Shooting. 20?
15 to 20.
Wow.
Yeah. Manny's like, when you're shooting a racing scene in a movie, I mean, they probably go faster on bigger budget movies, but he's like, it's not necessary to ever go above 20 if you don't, you know, have the proper...
Because you can make it look faster on camera?
It's part tricks. There's editing tricks, but that's not what Manny was... That's not Manny's area of expertise. It's just some... I don't know. It's the something about that speed moving a static camera, you know, a car moving past a static camera at 20 miles an hour. He said looks like 80 miles an hour.
That's very interesting.
It was interesting, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, with the appropriate sound effects and the
cutting. You gotta juice it up, but yeah.
Actually, that leads me to another question.
Sound?
The sound effect of that Grand National, was that recorded from that car?
No.
Okay.
It sound?
What was it recorded off of?
What kind of car?
Yeah.
That was, Oh, Jesus. I don't.
Because
I don't
there's
know.
Two things about it. One, it sounded a little V80 and not V6-y. Like
it's one of those things where that's where I made the conscious decision not to go with reality.
Just to
you
make because it would sound better.
It's just the actual recorded sound, it's just disappointing. It's not that meaty, big.
That's a turbo car. Turbo car is going to be
it's
a quiet
car. It's like in,
car.
You know, are you familiar with the film Rocky?
Yes.
You know about how they'd sound design the punches in that? It's
No, tell me.
So a normal punch doesn't sound like all that much, you know?
Yeah.
The punches in the fight scenes in Rocky.
Real snappy, poppy.
Can you Google it?
I don't know if I can play them.
No, don't play it, but you can Google like what those sounds are, and it's like 17 layers of, you know, a building exploding, a cow being dropped eight stories.
There we go. Punch sounds used in Rocky.
Punch?
Hang on. Hold on.
This might be too off.
That's okay. No, hang on. Just give me a sec. Keep going. I'm looking in the background.
So the Rocky sound effects for a punch are ludicrous. Like what the actual punch, how they produce that actual punch. It's like a bag of potatoes being dropped off a 10-story uh-huh. building, combined with, you know, a guy getting shot in the face, combined with, you know. Does it have it?
I'm looking. Like things you need this to know about
Rocky.
About Rocky.
So the car. Basically, my point is, I don't mean to get on a whole Rocky tangent, but I made the decision to just make it sound awesome. And in this case, I'm like, you know, for the eight car
yeah.
nerd assholes who are going to quibble about, yeah. you know, well, just, that's,
you'd rather make it sound better than
I'd rather have this one. I said I'm going to, because sometimes accuracy is more. You know, it would bother me if it was inaccurate and the car lovers.
It wasn't a takeaway. I didn't go, that isn't right, but I went, I wonder if that's the actual sound
up.
Or not.
No, that was juiced up with like, we need more bass, more cowbell, more meat. It's just a really meaty.
Well, because it's not just a Grand National. He's got the fastest Grand National around, so it's presumably modified and louder and cammy and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
The one thing, though, is Grand Nationals are automatic. And at one point, he slows down and there's a blipped downshift effect, like as if it was a manual
God,
gearbox.
God, you go deep.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So,
well, it was an automatic car. Yeah. Because I know how he had the thing in the middle between the two seats.
The big H handle.
The T. Yeah, right. Yeah. But you're right. Oh, so my sound. Oh, in post, we added
Someone added a downshift blip.
Oh, that. Oh, a downshift. Oh, I think you meant
as if you would go down a gear with a manual transmission.
Oh, something. I think you meant the thing where you go from like drive to park.
Oh, not the change in shifter noise. No, no, no.
What do you call that thing?
Gear change noise, I guess. I don't know. Shifter.
Oh, okay. So okay.
Yeah, whatever.
All right. So far,
I was just curious because if that really was the Grand National, it sounded fucking badass. It would have been the best sounding Grand National in history because they don't sound like much.
Grand National.
No, they don't sound like much at all.
Oh, really?
No, they're very quiet.
Oh.
That was sort of the thing about that car at that time.
But you could make it sound louder if you
all those other cars, those fucking IROCs and shit, to make them go fast, you had to make them really loud.
Right?
Because it's just more of everything. More cam, more fuel, more air. Just more in, more out, and that turns into more volume. But with a turbocharged car, like the Grand National was...
Yeah.
The engine itself, the V6 engine, does not have to be all cammy and rough and out. You just more turbo, more air. So when you make them loud, it just sounds like a loud vacuum cleaner sound added to it,
and not to it.
So it would have been interesting if that car had both. That's all.
Oh, okay.
But it was cool.
Well, I'm glad. Okay.
It was all right. But
this interview has been a good fact check.
Next time before I make the movie.
So what was I going to say?
I don't know. I don't know where we're at.
Oh, so the car guys. So we were worried that, you know, how are we going to get all these car guys? And they just showed up on set, and then they just showed up every day. And then it just grew and grew and grew by the time.
And they probably brought more people and more cars.
And then it became like a happening. It became like a car meet, right?
And then it was really cruising on Francis Lewis Boulevard.
Every night. And then it became a nuisance because like, we got enough cars. We just needed, you know, we'll put out a call. We need 5 cars to line this little stretch of background for parking. And
50 show up.
And the other problem is they're all ridiculously awesome. you know, cars.
Yeah, you can't have every car be like a rad show
so
car.
So the hard, I had like my choice of 15, what's like a 1571 Chevelle, whatever.
Muscle cars.
Like the legend, some legendary car. And then I was like, does anyone out there have like a Celica, an 82 Celica? And that was, I mean, maybe now it's easier. But that was what
The challenge is in finding older, normal cars that are in sort of decent condition, you know, as if they were, you know, newer.
So that's what we had to rent.
Like that Tercel or whatever they steal.
Yeah.
That thing was like real clean.
The
thing was
that
a Tercel.
We rented. That we had to rent. Yeah. So I it became this reverse, like the more pristine and jaw-dropping the car was, the less exciting and interesting it was for me. But then some, you know, my picture car coordinator was just this guy, Josh Kay, whose job was to like just bring me cars.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, I got a powder blue,
Gremlin.
It's just the most mundane.
Oh, like
Gremlin's
just,
like a shit
oh,
car.
Oh, like a Plymouth Satellite or something. Just, or like a Corolla or
a Dodge Dart or a K car.
A K car would be about the most boring car you could find.
Okay.
Yeah. Someone who has at this point, if you have a mint K car, there's something wrong with you.
That was like, you know, a first edition Michael Jordan rookie, whatever.
Yeah.
So when I got one of those, I was like, put that in the background. So certain cars.
Yeah.
At one point, there's
the mintest, like, Lincoln Mark 7 I've ever fucking seen.
Oh,
it's silver.
Crazy.
Yeah. Really, really cool. And there's like really good period modifications in the car. They're modified as they would have been during that time.
Yeah. Those guys don't fool around.
It was very, very cool.
And then they started, and then they just kept showing up and showing up. And then the next thing that happened was we got through all the car days. So they were all like just every night they would come and they would hang out and they would stay till 5 or 6 in the morning and you tell them to go home. They're like, no, it's cool. We're good. I'm like, no, but we're done. Just go home.
Like, we're not done.
We're good. and then they're like, so what time should we show up tomorrow? And I'm like, well, tomorrow actually, I've got bad news for you. Tomorrow we're shooting a telephone conversation scene.
Yeah.
And they're like, they would pause for a second and be like, well, I'll come just in case. And I'm like, no, but it's a they're so indoors. Funny. She's in her room. He's in her room.
We'll just keep an eye out. Make sure things okay.
They go, you never know. I'm like, no, there's no, unless a car drives through the wall like
so
Kool-Aid.
Fucking funny, dude.
So then we would just be shooting like these telephone conversation scenes and they would be all there.
They just
outside.
Need something. They just
and
need
then
they,
but then
do.
They started getting noisy and then we're like, guys, just, and then they became not a nuisance, but like, guys, just, come back tomorrow.
So funny.
We might have some.
Do you
more.
Think they were like invested in the plot of the movie and wanted to like?
No,
see
they
what
didn't
happened?
Even know. They didn't even know what we were shooting.
They
I
just
mean,
wanted
they were,
something to do.
Well, they were really excited because it was the Franny Lou movie. Because these are all neighborhood guys who cruised Franny Lou is Francis Lewis Boulevard. That's kind of what they called it, which was in Queens and kind of Bayside Whitestone Queens.
Does it still kind of look like 1987 down there? You didn't.
Well, we didn't dress the set.
You didn't dress
we shot
it.
On. We shot on location and didn't have to change much. I mean, there's a lot of the Chipotles have not reached that stretch. Thank God. You know, maybe Carvel we had to change the signage a touch. Wait, what are you looking at?
I'm getting Francis Lewis. I'm getting Franny Lou Boulevard, furthermore, I'm going Street View. Is it right here between the Grand Central and Hillside? Where should we go?
Go to like. Where are you?
I'm right in the middle here.
Oh, no, you got. Well, zoom in a little more. Where is Franny Lou?
Right here.
Okay, so go to like
Bayside.
Oh, that's okay. So this was the racing strip. So this was the cruising. It was a cruising racing scene.
Yeah.
Scene.
Francis Lewis Boulevard.
That's
right
Francis
here.
Lewis Boulevard. So north of that was right. That was the cruising scene. You had like Carvel and oh Jesus.
So it's Street View this shit. Here's Francis Lewis.
Yeah. Okay, that's like the commercial. Yeah.
This is the residential side.
Okay,
okay.
But that's the commercial.
This is it. It's divided that's, road, right. Two lanes each way.
So it's divided.
Back and
oh, no,
forth
this is,
and back
this
and
looks
forth.
Like the is this the racing strip? No, I know what the racing strip. Okay, so that's the commercial strip, even though we're not seeing any stores. It's somewhere near there.
Whatever.
Okay, so that would be the hangout.
Yeah.
And then like around 2 in the morning, they would all kind of like move off of the commercial stretch where they were just hanging out in parking lots, drinking. And they would go down here, which was
like by the park. Yeah. The racing.
No, but this. Yeah. This stretch, there was no lights.
Yeah.
So there was a stretch.
This is definitely through the street racing zone.
Yes.
Totally.
So there was a spot.
100%.
If you go up there, you don't have to be. There's like the last light.
Yeah.
You know.
That's the street racing light.
Is that it over there?
Probably.
It's probably the light.
Yeah, here.
Yeah. Okay. So that's the last light. And once. Yeah. Exactly. See this light?
Yeah.
That's the last light. Once you cross that, the street is bordered by park on both sides.
Yeah.
And
oh, this is tall. Here's the diner.
That's a different diner, but that's diner.
That's basically it.
Yeah. Okay, so moving
Welcome
that
to
way.
Long Island, folks.
Okay, so that's the last, what you just saw was the last traffic light.
Man, this and then once brings back fucking memories.
Once you pass that, once you pass that traffic light, it's there's a...
there's parks on both sides, so there's nobody around.
It's like 3/4 or a mile.
Yeah, right here.
This stretch right here
is
just pure straightaway. And no traffic lights. Yep. And that was where the racing.
That's great.
That's where the racing happened. And there's still no traffic lights. So that's still usually.
I was going to the Hunts Point in the Bronx races in the late 90s.
Oh wow.
It moved to the Bronx.
Oh, that was close because I was closer to Westchester.
And then that's where that was the Honda's street racing and shit. And then Ocean Park.
Yeah.
Ocean Parkway. Was like where Ferrari guys would go, Ferrari and Porsche guys. Like the adults would go race down Ocean Park.
Right.
Craziness.
Manhattan Car Club.
Yeah.
This was G-Body, Buick Regals, and Malibus, right?
Yeah. What else actually was remarkably accurate dialogue? The car radios. There's a lot of dialogue about the brands of car radios and what you should steal and not, and it's all accurate.
It's Benzie, so it's 87, which was kind of the golden age of the Benzie box, which is the pullout radio. So
it was like Porsche and Mercedes have Blaupunkt, and they have the Nakamichi, and
the Nakamichi, and the Blaupunkt Reno came factory with Blaupunkt Reno came factory with the Porsches,
and the Becker the Mercedes,
the Becker, the Blaupunkt, the Alpine.
It's fucking great.
I don't know what people are talking about. I love jargon and terminology and just the nitty-gritty of some subculture so even though I clearly don't know anything about cars, I love the sound of people talking about name brands and details. So there's a ton of that stuff. They would steal the main character and his friends in the movie are these kind of petty car radio thieves, and they go on these runs to Great Neck. That's where they kind of bump into the girl in the movie. And these guys, that's what they would do. They would go. It was they were kids from Queens who would the two spots that they would always hit for stealing radios was they'd go into Great Neck, which is across the you go across the Cross Island Parkway, and you're suddenly in the rich Jewish suburbs, and then you have your pick of all the BMWs,
the Porsches, and the
right,
BMW
the ones
and
with the because they
and
be,
then I liked when they go outside Shea Stadium at the baseball
was the
game.
Other,
that fucking Willits Point area.
Yeah.
Is crazy,
isn't it? They're choking it. They're killing it now, but
So Willits Point is literally across the street
from City. It was across from Shea. It's not directly across from City Field, but it's this chop shop.
Dude, I shot a bit there, for my car show.
It's crazy there.
It looks like fucking Brazil.
Where's
a good picture of it? Here. This is legit.
This
is in America, and it's directly across the street from the beautiful stadium that that they play in. And the streets have like the puddles you see here, they're a foot deep.
Well, because the city has abandoned Willits Point. They're trying to just make it die and go away.
Yeah,
they want to choke off all the resources. They want to develop it into a. There's the potholes.
Yeah.
So they want to develop it into one of those,
gentrify it. And here's the picture. This is the exact picture. Look, Brazil,
yeah.
Beautiful stadium. It's directly across
the
street.
That's where you go. They had that in the Bronx, too. But this was when you steal a car, you bring it here, and they take it apart.
Yeah. It's all chop shops.
An early draft of the script, there was a whole it was much more about the car thefts, and they would bring these cars to a guy. There's all these mobster guys who run these chop shops.
It's so crazy.
And they don't repair. The city has literally abandoned. This is the only part of New York City that the city has disowned.
Yeah.
They don't repair. There's no services there.
There's no trash collection. Nothing.
No, it's crazy. It's become third world. It almost looks more like New Delhi than.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's potholes. So we shot there, but again, we're shooting with insane potholes and stuff. So it was another challenge, but it's a bizarre, crazy place.
I did a bit for a television show I was on, and we were talking about I was literally driving a brand new Mercedes, like a $140,000 Mercedes.
Through there?
And I was driving around and around, and you know, I had to do, we do drive-by shots, right? So I literally was driving around the block over and over, and every time I'd go around, they'd move the camera, and I'd drive and get a different shot. But the residents of that area were fucking looking at me so cross-eyed because I'm looping around over and over in this really expensive Mercedes truck. They were like, something really bad is going to happen. Yeah. They kept looking at me super cross-eyed.
People don't go in there unless they have a reason to go in there. Yeah. Nobody's, I don't even think there's like mail delivery there.
Dude, it is so sketchy.
I love it. I love little pockets.
It's gritty. Look at this. I mean, I'm telling you, look, like if I showed you this picture and I told you that we were in Mexico, you'd believe me, right? Look at that.
Yeah.
You'd believe me if I said this was Mexico. Right, this is in New York City today.
Yeah. Yeah.
This
the
picture.
Puddles, they're all, even when it's dry, they're, the puddle, it's almost like they hose.
It never goes
they
away.
They fill them with a hose. Yeah.
It never goes away. It's so crazy.
There's always the guy. Yeah, the guy with the umbrella.
He's just watching the cars. He's just making sure your car doesn't disappear.
When I was in high school, you used to park Shea Stadium. It was the regular parking lot, but you'd always want to find your street parking because it was free.
Yeah.
And inevitably, you'd wind up, the only place to park was in Willets Point.
Yeah.
And it's right next to Shea, the old Shea.
It was a so really interesting location.
It was a very careful economic decision. You know, is it worth saving the $7 versus possibly losing your
radio,
your car?
And
no,
I love
car.
The sign, the line where it's like, see that sign says no radio? Know what that means? Radio.
Radio. Well, every car had baby on board, usually meant there's a baby on board. But radio, there was always no
radio.
Forgot
the no radio sign.
And it was, and everybody would always, it was glove box. Yeah. I love ritual, you know, and this is such a ritual based world. There was the glove box, and if it's not in the glove box, it's under the seat.
Under the passenger seat.
If it's not under the passenger seat, it's in the trunk. If it's not in the trunk, then they probably took it with them.
Yeah.
My friend Gino told me in high school, he used to, with his Benzie box, I was like, what'd you do with your Benzie box? He said, I used to bury it.
I'm sorry?
There was a tree. He like had his spot on the boulevard. Like
he
pirates,
would literally bury it under a tree.
Like pirate's booty. He would,
that is
he would
hilarious.
Bury it. Sometimes he would take it to the diner with him, and all the guys would like have, so God. They'd be sitting at the diner, you know,
ordering a burger with just their radio sitting.
Well, they'd
on
sit the down. They'd drop. That was one of the first things that made me want to write this movie. Was he described like the ritual of him and his two buddies? They would go to the diner.
Yeah.
And they would have three things in their hands. They would have their radio, pack of Marlboros, and their keys. You know.
Yeah.
And then they would just all sit down, drop all their stuff. So you'd have just the visual image of like three radios, three packs of Marlboros, and three sets of keys on a.
It's a
on
great
a table at
a
diner,
yeah.
With the ketchup in the menu. Laminated.
It's a great visual.
I was like, okay, that's, I want to make that.
That's very funny. And also the ritual of like, no one's got a cell phone and yet everyone finds each other every night.
Yeah. Everyone just knew.
You just knew where to be.
Yeah.
And it's, and you know, okay, here at the Carvel, it's got, you got the juice heads and over here,
that's
you got the Guidos
was, yeah.
And over here, you got the Mexicans and over here, you got the stoners. It's very
funny.
Yeah,
the Fry Guys. Those are all the real terminology.
Oh,
the Fry Guys would hang out in front of McDonald's, and they were named that because of the Fry Guys and they were stoners.
Yeah.
And then the juice heads, the Knicks. The Knicks.
Oh, yeah. Knicks were, what, Greeks, right?
Greek,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
It's not the Knicks, K-N-I-C-K-S. It's the N-I-C-K-S.
There's a slur for Greeks? What is it?
No,
what
just
it?
Every Greek person's name
is
Nick.
Their name is Nick. Yeah. I got, it's funny now. I get it.
Yeah. Nick Papadopoulos, Nick Markakis.
That's very funny. Wow. I liked the movie a lot, though. I think it came together really good.
Thank
it was
you.
Really, really fun. For
thank
someone
you.
Who is not a huge car nerd, you had the right people do the right job, so that for someone who is a huge car nerd, I'm always disappointed by
You live in, I mean, fear is a great motivating factor. It's like when I did every movie I've done exists in kind of a subculture, you know, where there's just this group of people who know way, way too much about that thing. So my first movie, Big Fan, was set in the world of sports radio. So I obviously had to get the sports radio lingo right. And then I wrote The Wrestler, and that was, you know, my fear with that was, oh my God, what if Rowdy Roddy Piper is at the premiere and my, you know, because they talk shop.
Yeah.
Just like car guys have their lingo and they talk shop. Wrestlers have their version of.
Did that work out? Was it okay?
First you're going to give me a reverse this and then you're going to, you know, do that. There's heavy, heavy slang.
Were the wrestlers happy with the wrestler?
Yeah. And
I mean, that's a great movie.
They all came. There was a bunch of them that were at the premiere and I was very nervous. And then there's that moment. I was like, so what'd you think?
Yeah.
Like, you did good.
Did you have a bunch of McDonald's managers at the Founder and you're freaking out?
No, no.
You know what I loved in the Founder where they have the dance of movement, coordination of the making the burgers.
Figuring out the right movements, yeah. The burger ballet.
I love that scene.
Yeah, that was true. That was fucking cool.
God, Ray Kroc was such a piece of shit, wasn't he?
Yeah. Although, you know, he was a piece of shit, although that movie, he probably was exactly like every other titan of industry.
That's sort of what we've learned, isn't it? That all the titans of industry were kind of pieces
because,
of shit.
Yeah, he was a piece of shit, but that you probably could have like taken him out of the movie and inserted Henry Ford,
J. Paul Getty,
Steve Jobs,
yeah.
Like any business, and we don't even necessarily have to limit it to just businessmen, but yeah. Just for the sake of argument, like any guy
type
who,
A industrialist,
Rockefeller and Carnegie, yeah. all the way through Jobs and yeah. You know, when the expos, you know, God knows what goes on at behind the, you know, Twitter and Facebook. But
my fiance works at Facebook. I know what goes on there. Yeah. It's a shit show.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is. She doesn't work in the Russian government part of Facebook. She works in the normal part. But I listened to a podcast called The Dollop. You ever knew that podcast?
The Dollop? No.
Yeah. It's like an American history podcast, and they tell you all kinds of stuff, stories about people and things that are really not taught in school. And it's generally a podcast just about how fucked up your heroes were. And
like JFK was
there's
went
just,
mad from chlamydia.
Yeah, like there's a bunch of stuff like that. And I just listened to the one about J. Paul Getty, and it is fucked up.
He
kept impregnating women and then being disgusted by them once they got pregnant and leaving them. He had like five wives by the time he was 30.
I used to think that like 10% of the people in the world were loathsome, disgusting people, and now I think it's
way more.
And I thought that was kind of like felt accurate and fair, and actually not underestimating. I thought like, okay, one in every 10 people I meet are complete, you know, amoral scumbags. And now it's, I don't know, maybe 30.
I think it's more. I think it's probably closer to 30. Yeah. I would 30 would be the guess that I have.
Bad people.
Yeah.
Or men.
Just people that would get away with anything they can.
I think like 3% of women are vile, and maybe 30% of men.
Yeah. Speaking of women, this is a male dominated audience, you must understand. And the biggest request to ask you about is, what is it like to work with Emily?
She has her clothes on for the whole movie.
So you have to take her seriously.
I don't know why I said that. It's okay.
It's a good disclaimer. She does have her clothes on in the whole movie.
I just lost half the. She was great. She's great. She's a pro, and I think for her it was a little strange roughing. I don't think she was quite used to roughing it, but she was really game. Like, I think her typical Vogue photo shoot that she does, has a bigger budget, than our entire movie. So like the whole, she's used to being like really well taken care of, and having a chair.
A chair, was that too much?
That
the
was
chair?
well, we hadn't thought of it. You know, we got her a chair, but
that's
like it wasn't
funny.
It wasn't.
It wasn't in the first draft.
No, that kind of thing. She's great. She's great.
That's good. I was impressed with her performance.
She's really good in it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm blanking right now.
Spencer.
The male lead, Spencer?
Spencer.
He was good.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I think all your actors were well cast in their roles.
And
I was impressed.
Sebastian Maniscalco, who's a big comedian.
Yeah.
He was in it.
I liked the guy who ran the street races. The guy sitting in the back of the pickup truck who ran the street races, I liked him.
He had a chair in the back of his pickup truck.
I know that guy.
That's Al.
So, like, that character, know that guy
Al
so
Linnea.
Well.
Linnea. He's great. We had so many characters.
Who the woman who played Gio's mother?
Yeah.
What the fuck else have I seen her in? She's I couldn't place her face. She's like a super famous actress.
Her name is Catherine Narducci. She's in. She was in The Sopranos.
That's where. She was Artie's wife in The Sopranos. Artie Bucco's wife in The Sopranos. Yeah. That's who it was.
Yeah, she's in. You can look her up. She's in The Irishman, the new. She gets a lot.
She's Artie Bucco's wife.
She's in The Irishman. She's in. She was in. Bronx Tale. She played the mother in Bronx Tale. And
I was a massive Sopranos fan. I think she was in Goodfellas.
Maybe
Goodfellas.
I think I'm just assuming she was in Goodfellas.
I think you were because there's like a 9-to-1 overlap of Goodfellas and The Sopranos and all this stuff.
Yeah.
It's like the same guys for 10 years got cast in fucking everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Sopranos really started everything we know about television today, I think.
That was the first, yeah.
It was the first where this season of a TV show is going to be a 13-hour movie that we cut up.
Oh, God.
God damn, was that... I've rewatched The Sopranos from beginning to end.
Yeah.
Maybe 5 or 6 times.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. No, for real. I'm really like you a Sopranos... Love. Yeah. That's why I'm kind of bothered that I didn't immediately get Artie Bucco's wife.
Yeah. Shame on you.
So the movie comes out tomorrow.
Yeah, it comes out tomorrow.
October, which is what? What's the date?
September 28th.
And it said select limited, theaters. What theaters?
Select theaters. It's in 10 cities. You want to pull up our...
What's your website?
Go to our Instagram page, cruisemovie.com.
Cruise movie.
Look at you. That's close enough.
Oh, sorry. I'm trying. Cruise movie. I'm typing from really far away. Oh,
okay,
I'll
so
follow
scroll.
You.
Thank you. There you go. Go to that.
We have a right schedule. There. Ah, yeah. Brilliant.
Look at that.
Here we go.
Shit together. Go. Look at
New York, Kew Gardens, of course.
We, we're
New York, LA, Chicago, Dallas, Houston, lights. Philly,
we're
Detroit,
bright
Miami,
lights of
Tampa.
Leffert. Sorry, I shouldn't talk over you.
That's
trying
okay.
to tell people where to see the fucking movie.
Here, you tell them.
I was just saying Leffert's. We're on Leffert's Boulevard.
That's perfect.
Broadway of Queens.
It's perfect.
You say it. Go ahead. New York.
New York, LA, Chicago, Dallas, Houston, Philly, Detroit, Miami, Tampa, and Orlando.
Yeah, and I would love to post this somewhere. Now that we're friends, I'd love for you to do me a favor and post this somewhere.
100%. And I'm not blowing smoke up your ass. I really did like the movie.
Thank you.
It was I was wondering when I saw the Grand National on the cover, I was like, this could go one of two ways. Wait, is she holding an iPhone right there?
Yeah, you can play it. That was just an outtake.
Oh, that's an outtake. Okay, in between.
Was that they didn't have iPhones?
I don't have audio from that computer to hear.
Just flipping through.
I'm just going through.
We gave away half the movie in these. There's a oh, let's
oh
see,
there,
what is
that,
that
was a Grand National
right,
wheel.
Play that one. Let's see.
That's a Grand National wheel doing a burnout.
No, it wasn't a.
Or just an animation.
It's just spinning.
Just spinning.
Yeah. There's.
Oh boy. There's Gio with the man
that's,
purse.
That's not pack. From the movie. That's from. Our merch page.
Oh man! Well, thanks for coming in, Rob. Yeah, I thought I really enjoyed our conversation, and the movie was great.
Pleasure.
In theaters tomorrow, September 26th.
Oh, play that. Click on
this
that.
Guy.
Yeah, go ahead. That's the money shot. Look at
oh,
that.
Oh, she's getting excited. She's oh wait, hang on. Oh man, I fucked up by not bringing it over so the people could see it. Now I'm. This is her first time down a street race. She's got the Italian boxing gloves hanging from the mirror.
Of course,
that shit is perfect.
It's
What's
a fine
he,
line
a
between,
68 Camaro
it's a fine
there.
Line between detail and cliche.
No, but the cliches are the details, though.
Yeah.
That's the
but
thing.
But you can be and accurate. You can get it right, but it feels cliched, so you got to almost...
Yeah, well, because Guidos are living caricatures.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's tricky. Like,
everything about a Guido is so silly.
Because they actually say, like, what's the matter? You know,
yeah, they
like,
and they
the
really
matter?
Do wear the Sergio Tacchini.
Get the fuck out of here. Like, they say that, so...
Yeah. It was great,
Sergio
man.
Tacchini, yeah.
It was great. I liked it a lot, man. Cruise the
That's,
movie.
What is that car? Let's see.
The other one was like a 68 Camaro.
Let's see.
68, 69 Camaro.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't tell from this shot if it's the exact 68 or 69. I think it's a 69. Oh, shit. Before I get out of here, I have to do one more thing. We got a couple questions from the audience on the Super Chat.
Oh.
Just through a couple short ones. Gabriel says, "Our Michelin Pete." These are car questions.
I hope
I'm sorry,
not for
Rob.
Me.
Probably not.
I'm just
sorry.
Sit back.
That's why I'm going to blast through them real quick. Our Michelin PS4S worth $40 more per tire over the PSS. That is the new version of a tire versus the old version of the tire. I would say no. They're roughly the same for 99.9% of the driving you would do. However, make sure you test, check the date code of manufacturer on the older tire, because you don't want to be sold some like tire that's been sitting on a shelf for 3 or 4 years, and that's why it's cheaper. So if they're brand new PSS versus brand new PS4S, save the money, get the PSS, but make sure it is a current date-coded tire. That's my advice for you. Let's see. Another tire question. Yeah, I'm a nerd. Michelin Cup 2 versus Toyota R888s for track use in both my C7 and Noble. My first favorite tire for track use is the Bridgestone RE71R. If you can get that, I really recommend it. Cup 2s are a really good tire if you want to set one fast lap. If you want to run all day or multiple days, you're going to blow those things off and you're going to melt them and they're going to be worthless. The R888s are very sticky and they do last a little longer than the Cup 2s when you run them hard. They're loud. So if you're going to drive the car on the street, they're going to be loud as fuck and really annoying. The Cup 2s are much quieter. But they are sticky and good tires. But again, my favorite track tire is the Bridgestone RE71R. Last one. Just three today. Thanking you for taking me off the ledge and buying a sketchy M3. No problem, Max. I don't want you to buy a sketchy M3. I want you to buy a good car that you'll be happy with. And if you have to stretch your budget to just afford an old German car, boy, are you going to be fucked when it comes time to fixing it. And that is the extent of our super chat. That's my advice for you guys. Rob Siegel, thanks very much for coming in.
Such a pleasure.
Cruise in theaters September 26th in major 28th. Cities. Oh, I'm sorry, 28th. Yeah. I apologize. I will leave the end of the show. So everyone screenshot this if you're watching the video. New York, L.A., Chicago, Dallas, Houston, Philly, Detroit, Miami, Tampa, and Orlando. Go to Instagram/cruisemovie to see where it's playing.
You can also get it on iTunes.
You can?
Yeah, iTunes, on demand. It's all
same
that.
Same day?
Yeah.
September 28th? Great. Watch it at home on iTunes on your home theaters on September 28th. Or come over to my house and we'll watch it again. I liked it. I'm going to show it to my girl. Thanks very much, Rob. Good to meet you. Let's do it again next time you make a car movie.
Love it.
All right. Thank you. The Smoking Tire Podcast is powered by Shout Engine. Get your own damn podcast at shoutengine.com. It's easy. You just need a microphone, a connection to the internet, and ideally, something to say. Leave us a rating on iTunes to keep us high in the rankings. I'll see you guys next time. Goodbye.